Hey folks, welcome back to the First Crack Podcast. I am Garrick Van Buren. This is number 80, where I grab a quick coffee with Robert Metcalf from FlySpy.com. We talk about what FlySpy is, currently in alpha, and an interesting problem that it solves that I've always, in the travel world, in terms of when do I schedule my flight? Do I purchase the tickets and what date do I take off and return to get the best price? I also talk about the power of TechCrunch.com as a PR vehicle, which reminds me, theme music, Jeremy Pillar, JeremyPillar.com. This is also the semi-official kickoff of a new initiative for that I'd like to use my vast internet publishing empire, interactive.com, the First Crack Podcast, Working Pathways, to promote and highlight web startups and internet technology startups based in Minnesota and the upper Midwest. So I have a very short list, unfortunately, and I know the list is longer. I just need it to be longer. So a challenge to you, my fair listener, send over your pet project, the guy in the garage next door to you that's working on a really cool thing. Let's promote this stuff being built in the upper Midwest. So where do you send it? You know something cool? Send it to firstcrack@gmail.com or drop me a message at 612-284-4148. That's my Skype voicemail line, which is also First Crack. Or you can leave a comment in the blog post, firstcrackpodcast.com, of this specific post. Thanks, y'all. Here's Robert.
To me, there's always been this need of, I know where I want to go. I'm extremely flexible on dates, and I'm not as flexible on price.
Correct.
Which I don't think anybody in the travel industry has solved. And when I saw FlySpy, I'm like, well, that's just about as close as I've seen anyone get to that solving that problem. Not that it's a huge problem, because the people that are that have that need aren't huge travelers.
They might be. I mean, if you think about a ticket, mm-hmm. people either are sensitive to time or to price. And it's really a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are not flexible on their travel dates, and hence they want to understand what, quote, the market is
right.
for that. Because most people, when they're searching on Orbitz, Expedia, or Travelocity, they don't know where the high and low prices are delineated. And therefore, they keep searching until they have a comfort factor, a certain level of anxiety, like chewing up too much time, or I just have got to get this done.
Right. That hunting and pecking to find that Tuesday to Tuesday that's going to make the most sense in terms financially, or something that's going to sort of massage price with schedule, that sort of thing.
Or the other example is Monday to Wednesday in the winter going to Fort Myers. You think that would be very expensive because it's you're traveling south in the winter,
mm-hmm.
you're going to a popular destination for Minnesotans, and you're not staying over Saturday night. That turns out to be one of the cheapest fares, just because the airlines use supply and demand to try and get every last penny from every seat
mm-hmm.
of a perishable commodity.
Right.
So FlySpy can be used, one, if you're flexible on dates, you can find out where some of the lower prices are. And if you're not flexible, you can at least understand the marketplace, so you can stop your searching.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, they have no idea if 20 minutes is going to yield them the savings of $20, $200, or in the case of London, $2,000.
Right.
So
where did the germination for FlySpy come from?
It actually came from a trip I had to take to go see my brother, who lives in a place called Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which is in the middle of nowhere. It's in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Right.
And there's about 8 airports you can fly into. And it doesn't matter where you fly or connect through or drive. It takes the same amount of time to get there.
Right.
And I found that it was a huge problem to figure out. As I was checking airfares from Minneapolis to, Baltimore, National, Dulles,
mm-hmm.
LaGuardia, Newark, Pittsburgh, Philly, Harrisburg, State College, Williamsport, etc. I mean, everyone knows what the problem is and the frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about, why can I find almost anything quickly on Google or Amazon in a few seconds, and yet
right.
I was 4 to 6 hours into the process
mm-hmm.
of trying to reconcile this and being somewhat geeky and nerdy, I decided to record a lot of the results and, you know, try to figure out what the pricing was.
Mm-hmm.
And the pricing changes over every site you look at.
Yes.
So it just got me to thinking about, you know, this is seems like a problem that should not exist, but it does. So I thought I'd do a little bit of research. I thought I'd literally spend a weekend doing it. That research turned into about 6 to 8 months of research, about 10 to 12 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
To really totally dismantle the airline industry and figure out how it worked and the supply chain effect and the flow of data and the metrics that govern it and the payments and everything else. So
that's that monster there is something I was exposed to slightly when my work for Orbitz a few years ago. And knowing how dynamic pricing can be, you're going to buy this flight. At some point in that process, any number of things could happen. One, you successfully purchase it. Mm-hmm. Two, the price goes up, the price goes down, or it's completely gone.
Right.
And to know that that could happen in the course of trying to purchase it.
On the consumer side, that seems like a huge problem, but in the global scope of how it works, that's actually one of the minor problems.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There are just a lot of very, very big thorny problems and a huge entrenched system. It's not just, you know, the airlines having trouble with fuel prices and load capacities and everything else. It's the entire system is built along kind of a supply chain that has not changed in a long time, I mean 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And the data that you see on Orbitz, Expedia, or Travelocity is exactly the same data that appeared in 1970 on, you know, travel agent green screens.
Exactly, because they're scraping the same green screens to get that data and just putting it in a browser. Yeah.
So the challenge was actually to be able to, one, understand the whole system, two, pull out a very complex piece of the puzzle, radically change it, and then put it in exactly the same way that it fit in order to stay within all the bounds and constraints of an industry, which is certainly not going to change for me.
Well, it hasn't changed in 50 years, so why would it change tomorrow? So the other thing that struck me about FlySpy is it feels a lot like something like Zillow.com, where it's I walk in and I get one bit of information. I get a price, whether it be the price for a ticket or a price for a home. Once I have that bit of information, the need for me, the other things I can do on the site are rather minimal. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that's actually a natural evolution of search, that we are now beyond the simple searches in life.
Okay.
And that many of these systems that we're looking at have multifaceted dimensions of which you've got to fix a few of them in order to rotate the data around it. So what they're going to do is you're going to fix on something you can easily see, read, or understand, in which case for housing it's the price of the house, and now you can kind of take a look at all the other ancillary data that revolves around it. Or with FlySpy, you're going to look at how the pricing changes over time, and now you can change things. Oh, I want to change my trip length from one day to three, or from five to seven, or whatever it is, and then start to drill down. But what I think the approach they're taking is they're taking very complex data sets, putting you at the top of the mountain so you can survey all of the landscape out there, and you can see, ah, this is what it looks like. I now understand the market for it. Now I can start to drill down into that data set to find the results that I really need.
And you got on TechCrunch. Yes. So how's the reception for FlySpy been?
The reception has been incredible. In fact, the way that it happened was I decided to go to Mashup Camp at the end of February just because I was running out of ideas. I talked to some people in town. There was very little interest in it. There was faint understanding of it. There was a lot of worry about what if Orbitz does it, what if Expedia does it. So I thought I would go to Mashup Camp to kind of get my creative juices going. I thought, well, I'll just show it to a few people. So Mashup Camp was on Monday and Tuesday. On Sunday night, about 20 people got together, and they kind of were talking and showing things that they were doing. And I was the last person. I thought, well, I'll just show people FlySpy. I thought I'd get a little feedback. That time, very few people had seen it. It was mostly friends and family. And I showed it. I talked about it, and there was nobody had any feedback. I talked for about 5 minutes and showed it to them. And then people began clapping. I thought, well, this is strange because nobody else got an applause. And then there was wild, it was just an outburst of questions about it.
Okay.
And the one guy was standing in the back, and he had a little, I think it was some Nokia phone PC where he was typing it in, and he goes, I want to put this on my blog. He goes, can I put the URL of your website? And I went, well, not if it generates a lot of traffic, and there was a lot of snickering in the room, and I didn't know who the guy was.
Yeah.
And, you know, the night's over, I have a drink, talk to a few people, go home. Monday morning, I walk in, and people are like, they want to get photos with me. They are, like, slapping me on the back. It's like, congratulations.
Wow.
Well, that was the TechCrunch article that had been read by, like, 500,000 people Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And that's when the, I guess, the PR took off. It was one blog entry. And to give you an indication of how far it spread, if you had Googled FlySpy Sunday night, there might have been 50 entries,
right.
50 links to it. Within 72 hours, there was close to 140,000 links.
Wow.
As was picked up by, basically, the blogosphere. And it appeared in every country, been translated into a ton of different languages, you know. And
so Mashup Camp was very successful for you.
Very, very successful. I also put up a little thing to sign up, leave your email address, and we'll alert you when it's going live. And that was, I think within 72 hours, that was over 10,000 email addresses.
Wow. So you got your creative juices flowing and interest in the...
a ton of interest, so...
Excellent. So right now, is this product development at this stage?
It's product development and also finalizing a lot of the business relationships that you need in order to kind of like, as you pull the piece of the puzzle out of the supply chain and put it back in, you need to have relationships with a lot of different firms and entities. Mm-hmm. So it's solidifying those relationships.
Gotcha. So you can be confident that the data you have is trustworthy and those sorts of things?
And so you can monetize it, and so you also have support. The last thing you want is you want the airlines going, we don't like this.
Right.
You know? You don't want to be ostracized in the community you're trying to foster and support.
Right, right.
So you need... You need buy-in from airlines. You need buy-in from ad agencies, people who are going to help run, you know, banner ads and advertising on it. You need ways to be able to monetize it. You need to be able to get the data. So it's a lot of negotiating, a lot of business development relationships.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.